Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
How many times have we heard this?
My American dream is to have a family.
So I'm going to spend as much time with my family as possible to make my family happy and to protect them.
I have a really large family.
And I'm sick of a job ruining a life that I should be spending enjoying my family.
In politics, spending time with family often means dropping out because you can't win an election. Senator Chris Dodd isn't using euphemisms to explain his retirement. Yes, he wants to spend time with his wife, but also...
Any certain prediction about an election victory or defeat nearly a year from now would be absurd.
In Dodd's case, his departure is probably a good thing for the Democrats, and one thing's clear, he'll be spending more quality time on his couch, where he's the only candidate. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Thursday, January 7th. And the takeaway for me, John, is, you know, maybe we need a new phrase. I'm not sure spending time with the family works anymore to explain it.
They never ask the families, Daddy's coming home now. Let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. We're learning a lot more about the stepped-up security on airplanes the president alluded to yesterday. ABC News is reporting that President Obama has ordered a surge of federal air marshals to be in place by the end of the month. The plan is to deploy 3,000-plus marshals almost exclusively to international flights, while personnel from agencies like Border Patrol and Secret Service pick up the slack on domestic flights. Later today, President Obama will let the public have a closer look at the missteps that preceded the attempted airliner attack on Christmas Day. The White House will release a declassified account of what happened, and President Obama will address the nation about its findings and recommendations.
There's another security misstep we're learning about this morning. The LA Times is reporting that U.S. security officials plan to question the suspected bomber once his plane landed in Detroit. Customs officials found the suspect's name on a watch list, but the plane was already in the air.
Ouch. In Yemen, counterterrorism officials are said to be hunting for a 16-year-old Yemeni boy suspected of having been recruited by al-Qaeda as a suicide bomber. Officials tell Fox News he may be going after foreign targets in the port city of Aden. Here at home, President Obama is pushing for a tax on high-priced insurance policies as Democrats wrangle over the final health care bill. House Democrats are resisting, though, since the tax would affect the number of union-sponsored health plans.
Democrats hope passing a health care bill will help them keep their congressional edge, but Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia says Democrats should be worried about the retirements this week of two senators.
They signal real trouble for Democrats in 2010. Now, we've known for a long time 2010 was going to be a Republican year. The only question is how Republican.
We're joined now by New York Times reporter Jeff Zeleny. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I'm wondering how you feel about the claim from Larry Sabato that the 2010 is going to be a Republican year, since we have news that there's four Republican senators stepping out of the 2010 elections as well.
There's no question. There's actually six Republicans who are retiring, but Democrats are the party in power, so Republicans are supposed to be retiring. Democrats are supposed to be staying.
Okay, so is there a difference between the character of these retirements? Is there a difference between those coming from the Democrats and those on the Republican side?
Well, there is, because the Democrats are chairmen of committees. They're more powerful because they are in the majority. So Republican retirements were more expected. The Democrats were more of a surprise.
Okay, Jeff Zeleny, stay with us. We're going to talk with you more in just a moment. GM has high hopes for 2010. Speaking to reporters yesterday, the new CEO, Ed Whitaker, says he believes the company will return to profitability this year. It's going to be tough, though. GM lost $1.2 billion in the third quarter of 2009. Looking at the markets, Asian markets ended down, as did European markets. Futures also down. The Dow will get underway at 10,573. The S&P opens at 1,137 and the NASDAQ at 2301.
If you're interested in more details regarding that Christmas Day alleged terrorist attack or terrorist attack on the Detroit airplane, we're going to talk about the technical significance of how you mine databases for important information, the technical dimensions of figuring out who needs to be stopped at airports. And our takeaway question is something completely different this morning. How big is your brain, Celeste?
I don't know, 9 pounds?
Well, big enough to have rights, okay? Legal rights. What if dolphins, okay? Big brains. Dolphins have
very
big brains.
Very.
What if dolphins had legal rights? Should animals get personhood status? That's our question for you. 877-8-MY-TAKE or send an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. It's a serious story.
Good morning. The Democratic Party has lost a few of its stars this week, Byron Dorgan of North Dakota and Senator Chris Dodd from Connecticut.
In the long sweep of American history, there are moments for each elected public official to step aside and let someone else step up. This is my moment to step aside.
But some of the Republicans are stepping aside as well. They're going to have to defend open Senate seats in New Hampshire, Ohio, and Missouri after a series of retirements last year. On Monday, South Carolina Representative Henry E. Brown became the 14th Republican to announce that he will not run for re-election this year. Joining us now is Ron Kaufman, who is a former White House political director, and he's the Republican National Committeeman for Massachusetts, close friend and advisor to Mitt Romney. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Love to do it.
So in order for the Republicans to take the majority in the House, for example, they would need 40 seats in the 2010 election. And Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele was asked on Fox News about whether he thought that was possible.
We're going to see, I think, nice pickups in the House. I think we're going to see nice...
More specific.
I can't give a number yet, because like I said, we're just now beginning to look at the races, and we have races where it hasn't been clear...
Do you think he could take over the House?
Candidate.
You think Republicans...
Not this year. And Sean, I'll say honestly...
You don't think so?
Well, I don't know yet, because I don't know who all the candidates... We still have some vacancies that need to get filled.
Ron Kaufman, how do you respond to that? Do you think the Republicans could take over the House?
Well, I'm glad to have this conversation, Celeste. A year ago, the Republican Party was in ashes. In sackcloth and on the way out the door. And now we're talking about, can we pick up enough seats to gain control of the House? My guess is it will be a great year. How many, who knows? But I think that this is going to be one of the best Republican years we've had since 1994.
That might be a rosy picture. We have four big-name Republicans stepping down, Voinovich, Bond, Mel Martinez in Florida, Brownback in Kansas. I'm wondering, and in some of those places, it's going to be difficult for the Republicans to keep control of those Senate seats. But do you think that's an opportunity to maybe get some more new faces and maybe some more diverse candidates?
Well, I think what happened on Monday when you had three big-time Democrats step down, all of which were... two of which were very strong, supposedly, and left their seats to Republican challengers, proves that the fact is this is a Republican year. People out there are angry. They're upset with health care. They're upset with lack of transparency that was promised. They're upset with the debt. They're upset with the spending. And when people are upset, they're upset with incumbents. This is going to be an anti-incumbent year, and there'll be some Republicans, quite frankly, that may pay the price, too. But there's a whole much more Democrats to be upset with than there are Republicans.
Okay, well, you are the Republican National Committeeman for Massachusetts, and, of course, the late Ted Kennedy's Senate seat is going to be up for election on January 19th. What's your strategy to win that seat? Do you think you can win it?
Well, I think we can. And, again, I can't believe I'm saying that myself, Celeste, to be honest with you. But in recent polling data on Monday showed that it was in single numbers, and no one would have thought that. We got a great candidate who is raising tons of money over the Internet. He's raised more money than a Democrat has. That's never happened in Massachusetts. Literally tens of thousands of dollars are coming in over the transom.
Tens of thousands? That's not huge. That's not that big.
Well, let's say he's raised, John, more money than she has. When is the last time a Republican unknown candidate has taken on a Democrat in Massachusetts and raised more? Mitt Romney, when he ran against Ted Kennedy in 94, didn't raise more money than Ted Kennedy.
Because he had more in his pocket.
Okay. Ron Kaufman, thanks so much. He's a former White House political director, Republican National Committeeman for Massachusetts. He joined us from Washington, D.C. Let's move on now to Jeff Zeleny. Again, joins us. He's the White House correspondent from The New York Times. Jeff, you just heard what Ron Kaufman was saying. And he's talking about the candidate in Massachusetts raising tens of thousands of dollars. But the RNC is heading into this election year with less money than they've ever had. They only have about $9 million in the bank. Is the picture for Republicans as rosy as Ron Kaufman thinks?
Well, I think it actually, I mean, he's right. It's much rosier than we would have anticipated a year ago. I mean, President Obama has not even been in office 1 year, and he came into Washington on the back of a historic Democratic sweep. The party looked strong. The party looked like it was together. Now the Republicans have coalesced around being against his agenda, and it has strengthened the party, no question. So it's in a stronger position than people thought it would. I'm not sure it's in as strong a position as it needs to be, you know, but it's only January. So The financial situation, though, is very interesting. If the Supreme Court rules on a campaign finance case in the coming weeks, essentially overturning the McCain-Feingold campaign finance restrictions, all the rules are off. Unlimited corporate contributions will be allowed, and the financial situation between Republicans and Democrats will be absolutely equal.
Okay, well, Carl Rove said after President Obama's victory that history will favor the Republicans in 2010. What did he mean by that?
Well, he's absolutely right on that. Only two times since 1934 in a midterm election has the party of the president actually won in the midterms. So remember 1994, the second year of Bill Clinton's term, Democrats were trounced. So what he means by that, history is always on the side, or almost always on the side, of the opposing party. So Mr. Rove is right in his historical assessment. And Democrats know this. The White House knows they're going to lose seats in the midterm elections. They're just not sure how many.
Well, let's talk for a minute about Chris Dodd and also Byron Dorgan of North Dakota. These two high-profile retirements, does that signal weakness in the part of the Democrats?
I mean, essentially, it was actually an opportunity yesterday for Democrats and a bit of a wash. Senator Dodd has served in Washington for almost 30 years, but he had become embattled. So many Democrats privately were relieved that he is out of the race because they think they have a better shot of winning it. But overall, it does signal weakness a bit because he's now a chairman of a powerful committee. Democrats, when they're in power, are not supposed to retire. You're supposed to have more Republican retirements, and because of these senators are not the committee chairman, they're sort of sick of being in the minority. So it does signal some sign of weakness for Democrats. When they're supposed to be the party of power, their presidents in the White House, these guys aren't supposed to be the ones who are retiring.
Okay, so Jeff Zeleny of the New York Times, do you think we need to come up with a different phrase for people like Chris Dodd other than "I'm spending time with my family"?
I think he said it pretty well yesterday. He acknowledged that he's going to be doing that, but he wouldn't be doing this if he thought he was going to win in November. He'd be going back to the Senate, so he'll have some time with his family. But he has young kids, so we'll see
fun.
What the next phrase is on the next retirements.
Might actually be fun.
Might wear him out.
Yeah. Should we ask Jeff?
Yeah, the takeaway question. Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, we have to ask you this, because our takeaway question today is about dolphin rights.
Yeah, some scientists believe that dolphins, because of the size of their brain,
they may be as smart as humans. Some say possibly smarter. What do you think?
It's hard to tell. I mean, sometimes some of the people in Washington sort of seem like, dolphins, or sort of going past.
That's
I'm
an
not
insult
an expert on this.
To the mammals of the ocean there, Jeff Zeleny. Thanks.
That's true.
Thanks so much.
New York Times guy.
White House correspondent. Thanks so much. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in on the headlines.
Well, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says negotiators are closing in on a deal to merge House and Senate health care reform bills.
The truth is that there's so much agreement in the bills, but sometimes we approach the issue differently. So we have to figure out what the best approach is.
The president told House Democrats yesterday they should include a tax on high-priced insurance policies. That's a measure favored by the Senate. Today, the public will get a look at the declassified version of the report President Obama received on the failed Christmas Day terror attack. The president is expected to address the nation later. Meanwhile, ABC News reports the president has ordered a surge of federal air marshals to be in place by the end of the month.
Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell says a painstaking process is used to evaluate Guantanamo detainees prior to their release.
As we are getting down to the final couple of hundred, that these are clearly very difficult cases.
A classified Pentagon report concludes that 1 in 5 Gitmo detainees are engaged in or suspected of some kind of terrorist activity. Coming up, what's for breakfast?
Hot fudge sundae with sweet potato pudding with gobs of tomato sauce, marshmallows on top, just the way Grandma used to make it.
Kind of traditional.
Talked about bad-for-you comfort foods in honor of Elvis's birthday this week. You told us about your guilty pleasures, and we're going to hear what you said and give you that recipe in a few minutes. Well, not the one we just said, the sweet potato pie with tomato sauce. That would be tasty.
Heavens, they're tasty.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.